Welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I am Joseph Ward. Shout out to my man Patrick Urban. We're back on our interview tip in our interview series. And we're going back to the beginning. We're going
back.
We're going back with the guest. Oh man, we go way, way, way back with this guest. We grew together.
That's that part. We
together. So I think we're going back to, because it's been years. So I think we're going back to 2014.
Yeah.
2014. This young lady, she left from Crossroad Academy in Quincy, Florida, and became the head coach of the Florida A&M University girls high school team. So when she became the head coach of the team, I don't think a lot of people really knew the greatness that was about to happen. I had a chance to see it in action at Crossroads Academy. But when she took her at the FAMU High, she took her at the FAMU High, and not only did Tallahassee get to see it, the state of Florida got to see it, and the world got to see it, how she took a school who was good to great, transforming lives of young ladies, transforming the lives of a community, and instilling winning, the personification of what a winner is, the personification of never giving up, the personification of going for greatness, shooting for the stars, and not even worrying about where you landed. No, you're going to land in a good spot. I'm talking about the incredible, the one and only Miss Erica Cromartie.
Welcome back. Thank you. That was a great introduction. It's always a pleasure to come back to the Freedom Train.
Yeah, you deserve it. You definitely know one of my favorite people, definitely my favorite guest. Yeah, I said it, my favorite guest. And
all right.
I just appreciate what you continuously do on a regular basis for our community, for these young girls. So many young girls going to college, so many young girls' lives that's improving. And these are things that I want to get into, because this year I do want to get into that, but I want to make sure we learn more about you as well and check in on you, because you are a very important part of what's going on, especially in these tough times with this up and down with COVID and everything.
So
I want to start with kind of taking it back from the beginning, though, because we have a lot of new viewers. So some of our new viewers who may not know who you are, just briefly tell them who Erica Cromartie is, and how has coaching women's basketball helped make you a better person?
All right. Well, like you stated, my name is Erica Cromartie. I'm from Midway, Florida, small city outside of Tallahassee, Florida, in between Tallahassee and Quincy. I attended FAMU DRS, graduated there in 2001. Then I played basketball there, a couple of accolades. Then I went to play college ball at Miles College in Birmingham. Was there 4 years, couple of accolades there. Mm-hmm. And then I came back to Tallahassee and was in grad school at Florida State. And then I ended up teaching at Crossroad. Actually, I coached at Leon High School as well as assistant coach. Okay. And then I started teaching at Crossroad Academy in Quincy and coaching basketball there, middle school team, for about 4 years, from 2008 to 2012. And then after 2012, I left Crossroad Academy, and then I returned to my alma mater as a PE coach. Mm-hmm. Got there in 2012, started coaching basketball there in 2014, and I've been teaching and coaching ever since. So it's been a blessing. I've seen girls' lives transform through the game of basketball, and I'm happy to be a part of that tribulation. And it's just like you said, it's a blessing to see them get better each game, each day, more so as women and not just basketball players. And right. I, too, have grown since then, mm-hmm. you know, as well. Mm-hmm. I've learned some things, learned things to do, learned not to do things. And it's a process as well. And I'm grateful for it, because what other place would I want to do it in my alma mater? Right. We had some good success, and still is having some success there. Three state championships, 2015, 16, and 17. A slew of district championships, mm-hmm. And a lot of state appearances. So it's a blessing, and I love what I do.
Right, right. But that type of success cannot be sustained just by happenstance. That type of success is something that it's a program that you have going on that's obviously working.
True.
So I'm not put like this. If you were, if what you were doing was on a national stage, people would be talking about you in the same terms of like a Bill Belichick or Mike Tomlin or other coaches who sustain success, because that's what you were doing. And so I believe that everybody should get their flowers where they are deserved. So you're definitely getting them from us, because you are one of the greatest coaches that's alive right now.
And, oh, I appreciate that, Joe.
But that's serious. That's real. For you to, because it's one thing for somebody to do something once or maybe even twice. But year after year after year after year after year, the success is there. The commitment is there. And the young ladies keep showing up and they keep showing out. So that's a testament to what you have going on. So that's why I say that, because it's actual proof there. It's not for me. I'm not just blowing smoke up your butt or just saying things. The proof is there. So
I mean, and like you said, that definitely is a blessing to have that longevity, because it's not easy. You know what I'm saying? Like every year, every season presents new challenges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be the players. It could be the circumstance. It could be the environment. It's going to be something, you know. Right. So you got to do what you got to do to kind of withstand it and keep it going.
Yep. And developing that talent like you're doing year after year. So that's great. So
yes.
So this game of basketball that you love, let's kind of take it back a bit to the beginning.
Okay.
Because we know you love the game. But what is it about the game that inspired you from the beginning? And how has that inspiration kept you going as a coach, kept you involved in the game as a coach, and make you want to achieve the heights of success that you are achieving?
Well, let's go from the beginning. I would say I started playing at Pomeroy Community Center. And I would go there every summer. I started going at 5 years old. And before that, it's like I always was like kind of like a tomboy anyway, you know, playing with my cousins, being with my dad and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it just caught my attention, because we would have – it was a community center and it was a gym. And then we will be outside. And so, you know, back then you had center time where you can go inside and play the foosball table, stuff like that. And then at Pomeroy, it's a gym. So we would go in the gym, and it just kind of caught my attention. And at that time I didn't know how to play it, but I was intrigued by it. You know, I wanted to know more about it. And then once I returned to school at FAMU High, we had the YMCA back then. You know, that was a thing to do, the YMCA. And I asked my mom, I was like, I want to join the team. Again, didn't know a thing about it. I just knew I played with the boys a lot. So I was like, shoot, it shouldn't be that hard.
Right.
I started playing YMCA. I don't even think I scored a point my first time playing. But my mom, she told me, she said, I don't really know a lot about it, but whatever he tell you, if he tell you to guard that person, you go with him wherever they go. And that's what I did the whole season. Whatever my person I was guarding, that's where I went. I didn't know a thing about it. And when it was time for the we had like a banquet, a place called Jake's back in the day on the south side. And it was time for the MVP. So I'm just looking like, I know good and well that I'm not getting that, because, hey, I didn't even score a point. I don't even know about the game. So I know. Right. And the coach, he said, Erica Cromartie. Wow. And even everybody in the room was like, what? And I was even like, what? Because, mind you, players on my team, they were older and scoring all the points. Like, they really could play. But when I received the award, he said, she was the only one who did what I asked her to do. He was like, yeah, y'all were better and knew the game more than she did, but she was the only one who followed my rules.
Right.
And I think, honestly, if I could find that coach, I don't even know who the coach, I don't even know his name anymore. If I could find him, I would tell him, like, he really gave me like that drive, like, you know, I can do this. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's how I started, when I just stuck with it. Cause I think if I wouldn't have got that, I don't even know if I would have stuck with playing. So then that summer went back. Every summer we're going to Pomeroy playing against older boys. My cousin Antonio Cromartie, we used to go at it playing basketball or whatever, and just got better and better and better every summer, every school year. And end up playing at the school, middle school ball, high school ball, and just went forward from that.
That's what's up. So, yeah. So I love that you told us about what the coach taught you, because in my mind, that set the foundation for where you are now, because you understood that if I follow the rules, I may not be the best, but I could get good results.
Yeah.
If I follow the rules. So having that in your mind, how do you help translate that to your players now?
And not only did it show me to follow the rules, I get results. Now, as a coach, it showed me that as a coach, when players follow the rules, they get results, because that man didn't have to give me that MVP, because technically I did score the most points in the season.
Right.
But he looked at it as, it's bigger than that. So that's why I try to teach my players, it's bigger than you being the best player on this team.
Right.
Are you coachable?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Can you play multiple positions? So he showed me that too. Like, it was so much within that I can't even put that in the box, that transition of how he molded me from that situation. I know God placed him in my life, because, like I said, if that wouldn't have happened, I don't even know if I would have pursued playing. So that carried, believe it or not, that carries over to me with my coaching. Like, it ain't just about if you can play. Like, are you a good teammate? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so it's a lot that was just in that moment.
Right. But that's important, because as you were saying that, you made me think, every championship team has that player or a number of players who you're not expecting them to score points, but you know, and everybody know that this team would not win this championship without this person.
Yes, sir. You got it.
That linchpin. And that comes from somebody who brought into the system. And if you buy into the system, teams who have talent and buy into the system are always going to beat teams who just have talent.
That's it.
Because you got to separate somewhere. And if we're both in this final and we're both extra talented, our talent is equal, but we got more discipline and more structure than you, we're going to win.
That's it. And you got, like you just said, everybody's not going to be the star. You got to have people that understand their role. And for those three state championships that we had stars and we had people that understood their roles. And not saying the teams that didn't win didn't have it, but they just had that extra push to carry it through.
So have you ever had a player who came in with star mentality and star skill, but the best role that it fit for your team was her being a role player and having to convince her or mold her into that position to help you win?
At a point. Because, you know, it's still all about season and time too, because you can definitely see the potential in those players. But it might not be for that time. You know what I'm saying? It might still need to be developed, or it could be somebody that's just as good, but got a little bit more experience, you know?
We don't
take it away from them. We kind of tweak it within our role. And then when it's time for them to flourish through it, we make sure they still have it. So you don't want to take it away, because you don't want to kill a player's drive and dream, but you got to mold it in a way it fits everybody, not just themselves.
Right. Okay. So with that being said, what's the secret, or what type of methods or tactics do you use in that motivation of your girls, high school girls on your basketball team? And your job is to motivate them to be the best athletes that they can be, the best student athletes, the best person. So how do you go about motivating them, or what secrets do you use, or how do you interact with them to get the girls to buy into that system and bring out their full potential?
Good question. Just make sure you understand what they can bring. You don't want to take away what they can bring, but at the same time, it got to be conducive to the whole thing, not just their thing. Mm-hmm. And once you get them to buy in and understand, like, what you're doing is good, but let me show you how it can be incorporated to everybody. Well, not only you get success from it, but everybody else can flourish from it too. And once you get those to see that, it might not happen the first time you tell them. Mm-hmm. It might take some games. But once they start seeing it and start buying what you're saying, it's a whole nother level. And that's how we were able to have stars and have role players, because everybody understood what you're supposed to do. Not saying that they did it the whole time, but for the most part, they did it. And then once they start doing it more and they see the success from it, you know, that's you can do with them, then they're ready to take off.
Now, that's amazing. But because, you know, that point from when you first tell it to them to that point where it click.
Yeah.
In their head, you know, that's that, I would call it that gray area.
And say, sometimes, Joe, it might not click till like the last regular season game.
Okay.
And then after that, it take off.
So how do you manage in that? And I'm gonna just use gray area for lack of a better term, but how do you manage them in that gray area until, because you can't make it click for them?
No,
so how do you manage that?
You know what? It's a process. I post on my Facebook page a lot. Trust the process, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a process, because you're talking about 15, 16-year-old kids, maybe 17-year-old kids who at some point is thinking about themselves. Just be honest.
Right.
But after a while, they have camaraderie with their teammates. They see what their teammates can do and what they can do. Then after a while, they start seeing that. Because guess what? All our common goal is to win.
Mm-hmm.
So once they get that mentality, because we teach it from onset, we're here to win and to get better. So once they get that mentality of winning, they do what it takes. They do what it takes.
Okay. And in addition to that, how do you, with that winning mentality, how do you make sure that they focus on winning and not focus on self or individual accolades?
It's a correlation between the two. You know what I mean? Because you don't want, like I said, you don't want to take away from them, because everybody's going to bring their own swagger, own style to the team. So you have to kind of still incorporate them, but then help it where it benefits the whole entire team. So like the plays I might draw up or the schemes we might do, it might be best for you because I know this is going to fit you, but at the same time, it's going to help the team as well.
Right.
So you got to put players in the right position to maximize their talents as well.
Gotcha. And see,
you can't tell nobody. Like, you just got to know how to do it. Like, I can't tell you. Well, I could if I seen a team and you asked me what would I do with the team. I would tell you.
Right.
But, you know.
I kind of got an idea. I think I have an idea in my mind. But because I'm just trying to equate it to football, that make more sense to me.
Okay.
And so I know in any team sport, you need all components of it to work. And if there's one component that's off, that could throw off the whole thing. And so everybody has to be able to work independently, but work as a unit as well. And then I'm thinking, like, I guess the example I would use is, you got the Phoenix Mercury, you have Dinah Taurasi, you have Brittany Griner, and then you have Skylar Diggins. And all three of them can give you 30 a night.
True.
But if you want to win, you got to understand, this might need to run through Diana tonight. This might need to run through Brittany tonight. This might need to run through Skylar tonight. We know who died. We know Diana is the GOAT. We know that.
Right.
And we know Brittany is dominant, and we know Skylar is dominant, but they got to learn to work.
They got to know it, right, and use it together. And you got to look at matchups, too. Like, basketball, too, is about matchups. If you know the team y'all playing can't handle Brittany in the paint, guess what? That's what you're going to all night.
Right.
And then once they start converging on her, then she gonna kick it out to you, you know. But that's the thing, you gotta get them to that point they understand that, because you know, a lot of people haven't been taught that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That is true. So you have a number of players who've come through your program from your first year to now, a number of players within that senior year, they're going to college. So some of these girls are going to college because of basketball. Some of these girls are going to college because of their grades and basketball. You have a good number of young girls. I believe it was this team or last year's team that was pretty young.
Yeah.
Right. And so now these girls coming into their senior year, and they have the success in the past. They know graduation is coming up. How do you help them, like, get over that senioritis that could sit in? Because we know that senioritis is going to come.
Yeah.
And keep them like, with a foot on the pedal, making sure that not only on the court that they're handling their business, but off the court, and especially in the classroom, taking those tests and everything. So how do you keep them focused through that process?
Well, first of all, you got to be realistic. You know what I mean? You can't get to the point where, oh, they need to do this, they need to do that. I always go back to myself, like, but dang, when I was in school, I know I did this. You know what I'm saying? So it's no judgment. But once they do make those decisions that's not conducive to what you're trying to do, then you reel them back. Hey, I know what you're going through. Hey, I did that too. You know what I mean? But let me tell you why you shouldn't do this, or what outcome will come if you continue to do this. So you try to be realistic and transparent as possible. And because you let them have their little leash, and then you know how far they need to go with it. Because at the same time, they're high school kids. And right. some of the best times of my life was in high school.
Right.
So you don't want to take that away from them. So it's just, you know, a happy medium of how you have them. But right. we've been blessed that we've had girls come up through the system. So by the time that they're seniors, they're hungry. They're mm-hmm. ready to get it. Now it's your team. And a lot of them take on that role. Like, I've been here since a freshman. I seen how it went. Now it's my time.
Right.
So that's a blessing right. that we have when, you know, you play for a long time together at Family High.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. That is. And they're managing responsibility well. They're yeah. managing their time well because, you know, like I say, you want them to still be children. You want them to still be high school children who are having fun.
Right.
Who are enjoying the game of basketball, but also enjoying life. Because like you, I remember my Rickers playing football.
You had fun, didn't you?
It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun. And it's like that joy is what's needed to be kept through college and through the pros. And of course, business come in, but that
right.
but that joy that you feel, because like you said, that's saying, yeah.
It's yeah, yeah. Like you man, if I could go back to 2001.
yeah.
I like would. Me. And see, like, for example, and I'm giving y'all some of our little secrets, but you know, for our off season, like preseason, and like I'm not gonna have those. First of all, we're not in season yet.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, go to the high school football games. You know, go hang gotcha. Out in the mall, the movies. That's your time.
Right.
I'm not because you gotta. You know, you want to keep them engaged and want to do things. And over the summer, we come in and, you know, I might see them sometime. They might come through the gym, get some shots up, whatever. But that's it. It's not year round because, you know, these kids are a little different.
Right, right. And but also, do you have any of your girls playing AAU ball?
Yes, a lot of them play. And they okay. don't play with me. And I do that on purpose.
Right.
They're going to get tired of hearing me all season. You know right. what I mean?
Right.
So you can go play with somebody else, you know, and hopefully still get better, and then you're ready to come back in the fall.
Well, with that being said, though, have you ever found that they go play AAU ball and are taught certain things that may be counter to what's conducive to your team? You have to correct those things?
Not really. And if it was something like minute, you know what I mean? Okay. Like okay. something that could be changed, not nothing that was like a deal breaker or anything like that.
Gotcha.
For the most part, especially at their age, the fact that they're still playing is good. You know what I mean? Yes. Like maybe they was in a college or pros, that'd be different. You don't want people hands on all of them. But at that age, it's not that bad. You just want them to stay active all summer. They won't gotcha. Come back out of shape.
Right. Right, right. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they will be in shape.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah, sir. If yeah. not, we get them right.
right. right. So we're in a day and time. Social media is a great big influence on not just children, but adults too. We see it all over.
Definitely.
Morals, I get, for in some people's eyes, morals may not be as high as they were in the past. Hypersexual behavior, all these things being celebrated. Having a group of impressionable young girls in this day and age where you have things that are good at a click of a button away and things that are bad at a click of a button away, and being able to instill good morals, good ethics, good work ethic, good ideas, good habits into the girls. So do you find yourself have to counter some of these social media messages and ideas to help get your girls back on track or on a good track to make sure that they're building high self-esteem, high moral, high character on and off the court?
No, I haven't. Thank God. I haven't had that issue. Only issue that I've seen dealing with, and I won't even say social media, but I take that back. One year we did have a situation where girls on my team and other teams in the city were kind of like using the social media platform as like a you know, like a war zone or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like she say that and they'll say this and right. she'll say that. Now right. we did have that one time, but that was cleared up. You know, we kind of talked to them about it, like, don't get on there talking about mm-hmm. anything, you know. So we did, that was a while ago. So, but other than that, we hadn't had any issues. The only thing I would say about television per se, not just social media, them watching, like, and nothing is wrong with the NBA. I watch it myself when it's time for the finals. That's about it. Mm-hmm. But just the style of play of it, you know what right. I mean? Like, to me, it works for them, but it's not always good for amateurs, you know what right. I mean? Because
right.
it's just not good.
Now, I get you, because yeah. I go to high school basketball games now, and everybody shooting threes.
Right, you know what I mean? Pull up on a fast break and shoot a three, like, why? You know?
Right, you've been shooting 10% all year. And you
right,
still shooting
like
threes.
Steph Curry practiced that. You don't, so don't do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah. stuff like that and just picking up bad habits from just watching it so much.
Right.
And that's one thing I got to say that really has changed the game.
Right, because you can see it so much.
Yes.
And people are trying to do this, trying to do these special moves and this special move, and not understanding the amount of time people like put in the practice.
Right, yeah.
You know, like I remember after Odell Beckham made that one-hand catch on Monday Night Football
uh-huh.
against the Cowboys, you know, the whole world went crazy. But when you talk to his teammates, they say, oh, yeah, he practiced that.
Right.
Ain't been practicing that since LSU, so that's what he do.
Right. And when you said, you know, I had to bring this up. When you said one-hand catch, who did it for him? You know what I'm saying? Tonyo Camardo, when he
yes.
took off Peyton Manning like three right. times and then had
exactly.
the one-hand
hey,
catch. So,
hey,
you
that
know
was so
what
live.
I mean?
That was yeah. so live. But he's a freak athlete though.
Yeah.
Everybody's not a freak athlete like him. Like he can wake up out of his sleep and do that. Everybody
That's
else
true.
Can't do that. Some people have to work at it like a Steph, but once you work at it and you get to that point,
right.
You are unstoppable. But
I've seen games jacking up a three, but you just missed a layup. Like, you know what I mean? Come on now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And see, that's different about today's game, because when we were in high school, we had no social media.
True.
So
exactly.
So we could only see what we had access to. So if our parents didn't have these channels that certain games and stuff come on, we only saw what we saw in our community.
That was it.
Right. And so you had to work on your basic skill sets. But
right.
now it's like the fundamentals aren't as people are not coaching the fundamentals like this.
Oh, that's a must. Like, hey, ask mine. If they're gonna play for FAMU DRS, like, fundamentals is off top.
Right. Right.
That is a must. Like, I don't know if coaches even do that anymore, but you gotta start them off there. Like, I don't care if you're in the pros, you gotta still do fundamentals.
You got to. So have you ever faced a team? Like I was saying earlier, y'all similar in talent, but you knew you had a little more fundamentals than them.
Oh, always.
And you're going to this team, you're going to this game with this team, like, yeah, we finna do this.
Well, I won't say always, because this right. it ain't been, you know, I don't want to seem like that.
Right.
So I won't say always, but a lot of times, I don't have to watch the team for an entire game to
right.
know. Like, probably give me like two or three possessions, maybe four. And then I kind of got an idea of what you're trying to do or what you cannot do. And
right.
I'm going to be honest, it's things that we can't do. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? But I just
mm-hmm.
hope you don't figure it out.
Right.
And I figure out what you can do before you figure out what we can't do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
That's kind of how you got to go about it. Like, probably all the teams that we beat, we probably wasn't better than, but we exposed their weaknesses more than they did mm-hmm. ours, you know?
So as a coach, how much time do you put into studying the game of basketball?
I think though I spend a lot of time developing players
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if that'll change on the next level or not, but I know where I am now, it's more so development and then strategy.
Okay. Okay.
I would say about 60-40, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason I ask that, because certain conversations that I have with certain athletes and certain former athletes, once you ask certain questions, you kind of can gauge their level of intelligence for their sport.
Okay.
And so, for example, when I was in, one of my favorite cornerbacks of all time is Leroy Smith. He's played
okay.
at Florida State.
Okay.
And what made him, and I told him this face-to-face, and what made him my favorite is his study of the game. So we would watch them at practice.
Uh-huh.
And a receiver would take one or two steps into their route, not even run their route yet, and he's calling out the whole route. Like, he's telling
wow,
them
okay.
Do.
So I mean, he's watched to see what he's what he likes to do.
He's studied the game.
Yeah.
And then what you telling me? Okay, 2-3 possessions. All right, we got y'all.
Oh yeah, I mean. I guess because I don't know, but the, I mean, me and my assistant coach, Coach Brown, we don't watch entire game unless we just there to see, you know, something. But we don't have to watch the entire game. We already know what we're gonna do.
Right, right, right. And it's just like we're gonna come and pose our will, and you.
That's it. Like I'll watch a quarter for the most part, and be like, okay, I already got a game plan for this team.
Right, right.
You know, okay. I mean, because I guess God gave me that gift.
Right, right. Now, I mean, but it's a gift, but it's also something that you've mastered and you've developed over the years as a coach.
Yeah.
Because it's like, once again, going back to you sustaining success over a period of time. You've already shown that you were there. So,
and it probably goes back to having to play point guard, because when you play point guard, you got to see everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was taught that a long time ago. So now when I go to a basketball game, I look at everything. I look at body language. I look at everything to how to play a walk on the court.
Yeah, yeah. And because you know what it is when your opponent is demoralized in front of you.
Definitely. Like when it was one state championship game we had. It was going into halftime. It was kind of close. Mm-hmm. I think we were up a little bit, not a lot. And I told my assistant coach coming back from halftime, I said, they're done. And he was like, what you mean? I said, coach, they're done. I said, I could just tell how they came out from the locker room. He's like, what you mean? I said, first of all, they was walking out sluggish. I said, they're exhausted. I said, it took too much out of them to hang with us for their first two quarters. I said, now they're done.
Yeah.
We end up blowing them out. And then I watched the replay. How about the commentators that said the same thing? Like, it was like, they're done. Like, that the gas, they're out of gas. And I said, wow, he was saying the same thing. And I didn't even know he said that.
Right, right. But that early conditioning, that's that off-season conditioning.
That's
right
it. That's what we
training for the fourth quarter. Yes. That's what that is right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we play so fast to like, shoot, our girls get in shape from just how we play too, because we play so fast. Like, that's one thing. Even when I was a player at Family Diaries, we didn't play. Like, we rip it and run.
Now that's cool. So before I get to this next question, so do you have you know who is going to be a part of this upcoming 2022-2023 team, or tryouts and things have to happen?
Both. You have groups of girls coming back, you know, and then you have some that's added to the mix. So to just alleviate spots, all of them try out again.
Right, right.
Because you just never know. You know what I mean? Yeah, you started last year, but who's to say you worked out this summer? Who's to say a girl coming in one better? So to be fair across the board, they all start from zero again.
Okay. And have your tryouts happened already?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
We don't start basketball tryouts until in October. Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking football schedule. Yeah.
And then you know, with the preseason conditioning, it's no basketballs because you're not supposed to have them. It's no basketballs. I'm not even with them. Like, I might come, they have a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come in there and I might see them over there working. I might look to see who's there, and that's it. Like, I don't have any dealings with them. Now, I can't say you gotta come, because at that time I'm really not with them, but they know they need to be there.
Right, right, right. them involuntary work. Well,
there you go.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how many of your girls are coming back for this year's team?
Oh, we have 7 girls from last year's team that's coming back.
Okay. So you're gonna pretty much half and half, half returning, half new.
I was just telling my assistant coach Friday. I told him, I said, we played with 8.
Yeah,
we got it with 8 girls.
Yeah,
so I said, look, it don't make me nothing. Mm-hmm. Mind. Like, I'm ready to go.
You got to show up with what you got.
That's it. Yep. Give me 2 more on that 8, on that 7, we good.
Right, right. So it's been 8 years since 2014. You've had, once again,
dang, it's been that long,
and it don't feel like it.
Uh-uh.
It doesn't feel like it, but great success. You're feeling good, looking good. Everything is happening. when you're looking back over these 8 years, and even you can go back further than that, what do you think is one of the greatest lessons that you've learned thus far to help you continue to sustain the success that you have?
Oh, that's a great question. But to answer that question is to stay in the moment. Mm-hmm. It was times when I first started off, like we would win this, win that. I'm like, okay, what's next? So right. You really don't just stay in the moment of what you've done. You know what I'm saying? By the grace of God. So as I've gotten older, I've learned to stay in the moment because the moment does not last forever. Mm-hmm. And cherish it, embrace it. Then you move on. But I was just so ready to get it. You know what I'm saying? We got that. What's next? We did this. What's after that? Instead right. of just, you know, staying in the moment.
Right. So what helped you learn to stay in the moment?
Age. You get older, you know, things change. You look at things different. Players change. You know, the team I had in 2014-15 definitely is not the same team I had 2021-22.
Right.
Nothing bad, just different girls. Mm-hmm. Age, you know what I'm saying? Maturity levels different.
Right, right.
So just things right. like that just, you know, makes you look at things a lot differently.
Right, right. And to definitely not leave this out, for those who don't know, she does have one player in the WNBA.
Yeah, she plays for Connecticut Suns, Jasmine Jones.
Yeah. So once again, I'm not just out here just talking, right? There's proof to this.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. I asked about that follow-up question about living in the moment, because that's something I'm trying to learn myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to looking ahead and not necessarily smelling the flowers and things.
That's it. But you know what, Joe? At the flip side, that's a good thing, is you don't get complacent.
Right.
But it has to be like I keep saying, a happy medium, though,
right.
because you work for it, embrace mm-hmm. it. You know what I mean?
That's
but then
true.
At the same time, you got to get it for what's next.
Yeah, that's a
tough one right there.
It is, and I know I'm working on trying to find that balance in that.
Yeah,
celebrate myself, but also be able to put in the work to get better. So,
yep.
Okay. So, you're big on your faith. Your faith has been
Definitely.
Something that's important to you. It's something that has helped you. So, how have you used your faith to help you stay focused, even through the tough times and the good times? How has that faith fueled you?
I try to look back on the things that he has done, you know what I mean? Because I would have never told you that coming out of high school, going to college, that I'll come back to my alma mater and win 3 straight championships. I wouldn't have told you that, because I didn't even think that's what I'll be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it had to be, the grace and the power of God. So I look back on those things that he's done for me that I didn't even have a clue he was going to do.
Right.
And a lot of times people say, well, you've already done it. Why you want to keep doing it? Because I know he has more in store. You know, this is not all he has for me. I'm more than just Coach Erica Cromartie. I'm grateful mm-hmm. to be one, but that's not who I am all the time. I'm more than that.
Right.
So I think it's I look at things he do for me in my future, things he haven't revealed to me yet. You know what I mean? So I just my biggest thing is try to treat people right, because I know
right.
if I keep doing that, he gonna look out for you, girl.
Yeah.
He definitely will. So that's how I look at it. Like, control what I can control, and know he still got some stuff for me to get.
Mm-hmm. Right. But also, you're genuinely changing lives. You're genuinely
that's
helping
true.
People.
Yeah.
Because I believe that we're in a time where, yes, we are a group of people, especially like Black people, where we had leaders like Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, who were great leaders, and they served the purpose. But those leaders inspired us to be able to be leaders ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that people should use the talents that they have to change the world.
True.
If you paint toenails, go teach a million other people how to paint toenails to change their life, because
right.
just that simple skill can literally help people change their lives.
That is true.
Start with where you are, and you use your passion. You use what you knew in the game of basketball. And so you're in a position to change lives, enhance lives for yourself and others. And eight years of young girls experiencing you as a human being, as a lady, as a coach, as a leader. And they're not the same when they leave FAMU High.
Oh, bro.
They better people.
And you're definitely right, because it warms my heart when I see them a mother, you know what I mean? Or I see them, some of them going to coaching or teaching. I'm right. Like, wow, you know, like even, oh my God, I ran into one of the kids I taught at Crossroads. You know how long ago that's been?
I know.
And
I
he
know.
Remembered. I was like, oh my God, that's been so long ago. But just the fact that they remember you, and they, they remember you in a good way. Even some of them, I don't remember myself.
Yeah.
But I can remember faces from that while ago. Right. But just the impact that, you know, we've had on the youth. And you got to be a willing vessel, because a lot of things that he probably wants us to do, but we got to be willing to do it first, though. So I was grateful that I answered the challenge of being a teacher and a coach.
Yeah. Like lives are changing. You, it's there's some young girl right now who plethora of young girls who are watching what you're doing. You don't even know.
Don't know. Yep.
But see, I had to learn this for myself, because I need to stop doing this. But I just see myself just as some regular dude who just, I'm just out here having fun doing what I do.
Yeah. But that's, you know, again, the happy medium again. That's, in a sense, that's good. You think that way, because I know the other side of you that know you going to get it. So you got to have that balance, because you got some that I'm like, okay, when he bring you down a notch, you know what I mean? You don't wish you would have stayed there.
Right.
So, no, that's good where you are. You just know the other side of you trio. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But it's like, you know, like you were saying, you're going to continue to have people who have played for you, but people who you haven't even met in your life. You're going to have these people coming up to you and telling you how they are influenced by you.
I've seen that.
And you're going to be looking at them like, I did that? And then,
okay.
So, yes, you did that, because
I receive it.
You're doing such great things.
Yeah, you know, and you're right, because sometimes, and you see me out, I'll be my own little world. And sometimes people be like, oh, hey, coach. And I'm like, hey, don't even go on.
Yeah. Because they know you and they see what you're doing. And it's a respect factor, because I respect everything you're doing. And I know the community respects everything you're doing. Because this part of this section of Orange Avenue that we're on, from Family Home down to NIMS, it's improved. It's better. And it's great for that part of the community, because it's been a forgotten part of the community for a long time.
True.
So matter of fact, we go all the way down for Ricketts to be improved.
I was just gonna say Ricketts too, man. Right. Hey, y'all were our y'all were our rival, but I gotta give credit where credit is due. Ricketts looks good. Have you been there?
Yes,
it looks really, really, really good. I got to give you your credit. That's a nice renovation.
Yes. I was like, man, I was born 20 years too early.
That's nice. I got to say.
Yeah, but it's just like I'm happy to see all three of the schools on Orange Avenue or off of one in that area that have improved. They've improved aesthetically and academically, and so kid, because we were proud to go to these schools because of the culture that we created.
But definitely,
they're proud not just because of the culture, the achievements, the environments, and everything that's happening, because it's a total mindset change. And you all have young Black kids really believing in themselves. And I think that's a part of creating that bright future for us that we need. We need more people like you who are doing what you're doing in a leadership position like you, rather than people who are trying to be the next biggest thing in the world, because the everyday people that you get to affect, that effect is going to multiply and just continue to multiply. And you're going to see 20, 30, 40 years down the line how our community have improved because the quality of people that are being created and molded from individuals like yourself.
Right. And sometimes I have to get out of myself because I have to remember that I'm not there always for me. You know, he has me there for, like you said, the youth. And I have to remind myself that, because it's challenging at times now. I'm not going to lie.
It's
challenging. But then at the same time, I have to remember why I'm there. And it's definitely for them, because we had some that was there for us. The teachers that I know helped mold me to who I am right now. So
yes. couple teachers that if they weren't there, I have no idea where I'd be right now.
Yes. Like I won't name them because I might miss somebody, mm-hmm. but it's a lot that I would have to say help mold me to who I am right now.
Yeah. And those to me, like those are the, like my kindergarten teacher, still one of my favorite teachers of all time. Still one of the people I say that influenced me to help me be, because she helped me really understand, you know, I don't know, I'm from a 5-year-old level, but self-esteem.
Oh, good. But though, even though it was a 5-year-old level, you remember that. So it did more than just at that age. It carried you over right. through life. So yeah.
Right. And so it's people like that, but you are going to get your grand flowers. You're going to get everything. Ooh, I received that too. Because I mean, you've been planting and them. Cause it's like have you ever seen the video from Les Brown? He talks about the Chinese bamboo tree.
Mm-mm.
So, but it's an analogy that he used. So basically, it takes 5 years for the Chinese bamboo tree to grow once you plant the seed in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so the analogy he was using, he had this man who planted this Chinese bamboo seed, and he would go out and water the ground every day for 5 years, but you don't see the seed growing.
Mm.
You have no idea what's going on under the ground. And so within that analogy, he was saying how people would mock him for continuously watering the ground for 5 years and nothing's growing out. Uh-huh. So finally, that 5-year mark, that bamboo shoot, when it starts to grow, it grows 6 feet in 6 months.
Mm.
And then, you know, the follow-up question was, did that bamboo shoot really grow 6 feet in 6 months, or did it grow 6 feet in 5 years?
Six months.
Right. But when that because it was ready. That thing was primed and ready, 5 years worth of pouring into it. And when it was ready to go, it was ready to go, and that showed up and it showed out. And then so everything's not gonna be overnight.
Come on.
Look, good food take time to cook.
Right? Definitely, yeah. But see, Joe, it's so funny you say that, because you were there like at Crossroad, right? So you saw the beginning,
right?
Oh, what was that? I think it was TD Jakes. I was listening to a video he had, and he was talking about himself, Beyonce, all the stars, T.I., one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Like, he was talking about all of those people, and he was saying people come in at the latter part of their life and see the success. He said, a lot of you wasn't here in the beginning, especially him, when I couldn't pay my staff, when I had to almost close the doors of the church, when I had to drive this beat up car to keep the lights mm-hmm. on in the congregation. So he was like, a lot of y'all coming on the end, y'all didn't see the beginning part and see what it took for me to get there. So, right. Hey, some people can't handle overnight success. Sometimes God right. have to take you through certain stages for you to understand, appreciate what it is that he's doing. And you right. saw my beginning.
Yes. But it's one of those beginnings that you knew was going to have a great ending, because everything that you have in you now, you had it then, and it just got better. And okay. Because y'all was your girls was stomping people at Crossroads.
Not in the beginning. But
you started, you had your fumbles, you started, and by the time you left, y'all was beating people.
We were. And we, you know, that was a program that had to be developed as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it had its growing pains, like its pecan seasons. It had
it.
And then they did. My last year, like, we may have lost maybe 2 games. I don't remember, mm-hmm. but those girls, that's a special team too.
So you being able to motivate middle school girls to be their best. We knew you was going to be able to motivate high school girls.
And I think, because I tell this story all the time, I was supposed to go straight to FAMU High from grad school.
Mm-hmm.
After I left Leon coaching, I was supposed to go straight to FAMU High as assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
But the coach at the time, he offered me the position, but it was just a stipend, assistant. Right. And I needed income. You know, I just graduated from grad school. I needed a job. Mm-hmm. So I turned it down only because it wasn't enough to pay. And that's how I was able to go to Crossroad first. But I said all that to say, I had to go to Crossroad first. I had to get developed first for me to be able to come back. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was God right there. He had to get me the foundation first.
And it's ironic that the name of the school is the Crossroad.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, you made the right decision.
Yeah,
and you know the rest is history, right?
There you go. But I didn't think about it. Honestly, I wasn't mad that I couldn't start there. I wanted to bad, but I just figured I was like, it's one of the time for it. Yeah,
right. And you know, everything has its season.
That's it. That's something I've been learning more and more and more. Like season.
Yeah. Just keep working. Like my pops always say. Just keep your head down and keep working. And next thing you know, when you look up, you're going to be where you need to be.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So outside of being the great basketball coach that you are,
mm-hmm.
you're a leader in the community, but you are a human being, a regular human being.
That is true.
as Erica Cromartie, what mark would you like to leave on this Tallahassee community outside of basketball?
Oh man, that if you knew me, you knew I was real first. You knew I was a good person, down to earth, cool, calm, collective, you know, just hopefully when you saw me, I gave you something inspirational, even just a smile. I hope mm-hmm. you were being a positive person for the most part.
Right.
And just a nice person that do anything for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's good. Your reputation does precede you. And I asked that question because I want people to make sure that they see you as a human being first. Everything that you have accomplished is amazing, but I want to make sure people are viewing you as a human being who's doing amazing things and not a basketball coach who just so happens to be a human being, because you're a human being who can coach basketball at a high level.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's why during the summer, Joe, I take a break from it because I don't want to get too consumed with it till I feel like that's something I have to do to make me who I am.
Right.
I mean, like you said, I'm a human being first that happens to coach basketball.
Right.
That's how I want to do it. Like, I don't want to be everybody is going to associate me with basketball because of what I do, but I want to be just basketball.
Right. Life is bigger than that.
Yeah. Man.
Now basketball is going to forge you to be able to do great things in life. But I like how you're using basketball as a means to an end, and basketball isn't your end.
That's it.
Yeah. But that's how you help shape and mold a WNBA player.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, and see, you were asking about people that just had it. She did. Like, she just had it. Very coachable. Wanted to get better, listen, a great teammate, all the things she's getting now, she deserves it.
I love her game though. And I said in the past, I said again, she's if you're on the team with her, you love her.
Definitely.
You're not on her team, you hate her.
You hate her, yeah. Because she's the biggest cheerleader for her teammates. Like, she's gonna do all the dirty work, all the the loose balls. She's gonna bring you that energy.
Yeah,
Like I said, she's definitely a good person. She's so deserving of what she's getting, and she come from a great family. Like, Jazz is, she's a good kid.
Yeah, that's amazing. So,
on record, I'm grateful to have had great girls. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've heard coaches tell me stories, some of their players, and I'm like, what? Like, we've been blessed, and I pray we keep that going.
Right. But once again, it's a skill and a gift to be able to manage personalities and manage.
Oh yeah, especially with girls.
You know, but it's like we've seen looking at the New Jersey Nets. I mean, New York Nets, Brooklyn Nets. I'm old. Looking at the Brooklyn Nets, looking at the Harden, Kyrie, and Durant. You can't tell me. In the beginning of the season, nobody thought this team wasn't going to come short of making at least the Eastern Conference Finals with those three on the team.
And how did they end?
They got put out in the first round by Boston.
Probably three egos, too.
One left early, one played 29 games, and one was there.
See, that's why, man, a lot of these teams, it's not just in pros. A lot of these teams stacking these teams. Right. I'm not saying don't get talent. But you gotta be able to make sure they can play together too.
My greatest example for that is that I think it was 2003 Lakers versus the Pistons, and mm-hmm. when the Pistons had that squad with Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton.
Was Trayshawn Prince on that team?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, that Trayshawn Prince, Rasheed Wallace, and Ben Wallace.
Wallace, uh-huh.
And they went up against Shaq, Kobe, Karl Malone, and Rick Fox, and Gary
Payton. Remember Derek Fisher, too. Was he on that?
I think Derek Fisher was on the bench because okay. they were starting Gary Payton. But Gary Payton did play for the Lakers. But there was no way the Lakers wasn't going to three-peat. They got Karl Malone and Shaq and Kobe and Gary Payton all on the same team.
Yeah.
Plus Derek Fisher and Rick Fox adding everything else that they need to add.
Right.
But the Pistons played as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And they won the NBA championship over this team.
Okay, and go back to the Pistons squad. How many stars you can call off that? Probably just Rip.
Right, right. And because at that time, like we knew Chauncey Billups were fire. Like we knew everybody on the team was fire, but mm-hmm. nobody was looking at these players as being better than the Lakers players. But they was like, all right, well, we got a game plan. We're going to play together.
Yep. I remember that team, Ben with the headband, with the afro,
yep,
and Rasheed. I remember that. And Prince being like the smooth operator.
Yeah, exactly.
Rip with the face mask. I remember that team.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny when he broke his nose and he kept the face mask.
Yeah.
But
see, you know what? Shaq spoke openly about him and Kobe. You know, at mm-hmm. first they didn't see eye to eye, and then they finally did. But that's what I'm telling you. Like, in my favorite, hands down, I don't care nobody to say, my favorite, Michael Jordan and his group, they still made it where everyone knew their role.
Managing talent.
That's
what make great CEOs, great coaches. But also, another thing that you are instilling in your girls and a skill set that they might not even know they have that's going to be great for them is that ability to work with others. Because when athletes transition into the business world, especially if you put them in the right environment, they're going to thrive because they already know how to work.
That's it. You're right about that, Joe. You're right about that. Not all of them, but a lot of athletes' work ethic be off the chain when it comes to corporate America because you've been taught you got to stay on top of the game.
Right.
You got to be better than the next one. So, you're right about that.
Now, I have met some athletes who post their career and are lazy. But
that's why I say some, because you got some that's a total opposite of what they were as a player.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you like, I don't see how you were that type of player. But mm-hmm. you can also see that they might not have made it to the next level either.
That's true.
So sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes.
Well, let me add, and I know this your interview, but I got a question to ask you.
Go ahead.
What do you think it is like? Because we all know people that was around, not to say Tallahassee, but like hometown legends, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But that just mm-hmm. did not get out into what they could have been. What you think hindered that success?
I think so. For some that I was able to see and have conversations with, it was a lack of structure and discipline.
Mm.
And I know for me, that's why I'm big, especially on young men, learning how to be disciplined and have self-control early.
Yeah.
Because I could be the greatest athlete in the world, but if I'm not coachable, I'm not gonna last, because talent and a bad attitude, it's not gonna last if you're not winning.
Mm.
And even if you are winning, that winning gonna be limited. You're not gonna win as much as you can because you lack discipline, you lack structure, you lack self-control, you lack just the mindset of working with everybody and making sure that the overall team wins. Because if you are the player if I have to have 30 every night for my team to win, we're not gonna do this.
And it goes back to what you said about the Detroit Pistons and the Lakers. Like, the Lakers was, if you just on paper, the Lakers should have blew them out, right?
Right. Should have been a sweep.
Yeah,
but they had a game plan. I think Larry Brown was their coach at the time, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
And they came in and they played as a team because they knew they had talent. Yeah, we got to deal with Shaq and Karl Malone, mm-hmm. but we got talent. We got two dudes over here who bad mama jammers too.
Man, so. Let me tell you something. You need a dog, you need a star, you need a role player, and you need somebody off that bench that's gonna bring you something.
Yeah,
you have all of that, you good to go.
Yes, you are. Look at the Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I asked you a question because it's a lot of Michael Jordans that didn't ever make it out to get them. You know what I mean?
It is. But it's, but I, once, like I said, the ones I was able to talk to, they lack that, just that intangible of that discipline or listening to the coach. Mm-hmm. And because I'm looking at like William Gay.
Okay.
So William Gay come, like when I was at Rickards, you couldn't tell nobody. And it, for Sammy Knight, it was injury.
Okay.
But you couldn't tell us, you wouldn't pay us money to say Sammy Knight wasn't going to be like the greatest football player of all time. Now,
okay. I knew about Sammy, yeah.
And because when I tell you he's the most intelligent football player I've ever played with in my life.
Okay.
It wasn't just his skill, it was his intellect.
His IQ.
He had us in there watching film. Getting better, right? And so, but him, all right, but that made me think too. Him and William Gay are cousins. But
okay.
Nobody, we all knew Will was a good athlete. We knew Will was good, but nobody really expected him to go to the league. Nobody expected him to play 12 years in the league. Nobody expected him. He's going to be inducted into the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh Hall of Fame, definitely, yeah.
He got a chance to be inducted into the NFL.
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm.
But he has Will from the beginning, though. Will, his work ethic was a little bit better than everybody else's.
Okay.
From the beginning, his structure, his discipline, the way he looked at the game, his focus was a lot more structure. It was a lot more there than everybody else. Because it's like we have people with raw talent, and then we got people with talent and that coachability.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what helped him get to the next level, being able to be a coachable player. Yeah, I got all the talent in the world, but I'm coachable, and put all that together, and like his resume speaks for itself.
Man, I remember when we be working out with Eli. Mm-hmm. And William would be in there. That's how I met him. He would be in there lifting weights and all. Him and Colby Smith.
Yep.
They would be in there working out and stuff. Yeah. Man, shoot, y'all got some studs too on that football, from that football history at Rickards. We got some too.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and it, like you just said about William and Sammy, both of them were equally talented. It's just, you know, different things that came out of it.
Right.
And Sammy's was, you know, uncontrollable injuries. You can't control that. But William Gay definitely, to me, is one of the best to ever come out of Tallahassee.
Yeah, and I use him as an example all the time for myself and for others as to why it is important to do the little things right.
That's true.
It's amazing to be able to witness the people that we've been able to witness, the greatness that they've been able to have. But you as well, as a great player, as a great person, as a great coach, as a great influence, everything that you're doing on this Tallahassee, for this Tallahassee community, you're doing it at your alma mater.
Yeah.
You're having fun doing
that. You're putting
banners in the gym. You're making the South Side proud. You're making the South Side look better. Because I've always envisioned us all on the South Side working together like we're supposed to, and making our side of town better. And we're starting to see that. And you are part of that. Like I say, from Rickards to FAMU High to NIMS, we see the improvements. And from that, we're going to see the trickle-down effect of the community will have to improve.
Definitely, yeah.
Because I always told people, for NIMS, all the community have to do is just invest in the NIMS, it'll get better. So now you have people investing their time into positivity, so that positivity gonna jump from person to person to person, and people are going to have to be their best and going to have to invest in the improvement of the community, because those who are already investing in the community are not going to allow others to break it down.
All right. And a lot of people have to, you know, because I'm standing before you, but it's some people that stood behind me that invested in me to get me to where I am. So, man, it takes a village. Like my sister, she has a group. It definitely takes a village, because like so many people, I'll be here all night naming people that poured into me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's important. And shout out to your sister too. I was able to meet her. She's so funny.
She didn't even tell me she met you.
Yeah, because Miss Kara Brown, she works with me, and I know they know each other, and I've been able to talk to her on the phone and everything. So
I'm gonna ask her because she didn't even say nothing.
Yeah, she's so cool. So. Yeah, but I appreciate you. I love what you do. I'm in your corner. I'm in your fan club. I appreciate everything you do.
I don't care where this life takes me.
We doing
I'm gonna
this.
Do a Joseph Ward interview every year.
Look, and you the one guest that I'm always gonna have. Same thing with me. No matter where I am, no matter what life takes me, it's no such thing as ever being too busy, too big for you. Because everything that you're doing for the community, you always got a seat right here on this Freedom Train.
I appreciate it. And I tell everybody, because, man, and I know we got to wrap up, but I hate it when people get to a point that they don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Or that it's like now it's just kind of beneath them. I say to myself, I can never get that point. I'm telling you, like, I just don't like that, because I'm like, remember now, you were just at another point not too long ago. Like,
yeah.
Much is given, much is acquired. You can get it. It can be taken away.
Right. But a relationship that, like what we have, it needs to be fostered, because people who are working with toward the same goal to make the community better, we need to work together. We need to be together. We need to stay in touch and use our tools. Your tool is coaching basketball. I'm good. I like talking.
Oh, okay.
I like talking to people. I like teaching. So that's what we do. And we're in the same realm, but just you in the Mercedes and I'm in the BMW.
Okay. So
that's what's up. So before we wrap this up, how can others get in contact with you for an interview or even learn more about FAMU High Girls Basketball?
We have a FAMU DRS Girls Basketball page on Facebook. My email address is Erica, E-R-I-C-K-A dot Cromartie, C-R-O-M-A-R-T-I-E at FAMU.edu. I'm on Facebook, Erica Cromartie. I'm on Instagram, Miss... _ Cromartie11, and I'm on Twitter as well, at Coach Crow at Family DRS. So
cool,
you can find me there. I'll be willing to do interviews. I actually like interviews due to Joseph Ward.
Nah, I appreciate that. And shout out to your family, one of the most successful families out here that's doing
okay.
It. People don't talk enough about the Cromartie family.
Oh,
they talk about these other families that they see, but y'all better recognize the Cromarties that came up in these different realms in these different sports and they're doing things in these different cities, because these Cromarties holding it down.
Most definitely. We had Antonio, Dominique, Damon, all those playing in the NFL.
And you have so much more, so many more coming, and so many more doing great things in great places. So Erica Cromartie, everybody. Miss Erica Cromartie.
Thank you so much, Joe.
No problem. And you all make sure y'all visit our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you check out our sponsors, PAX Inc., PACTSINC.org. Remember, PAX Inc. is a Black advocacy organization, a Black think tank organization, giving free information to help our community to be able to improve themselves. She's Erica Cromartie. And if you want to learn how to be great, listen to this interview. Go listen to all the interviews we had in the past. 8 years worth of interviews, 8 years worth of greatness, and make sure you check her out. If you're in Tallahassee, support the FAMU High Girls Basketball Team and support the people who are local in this city who are making things happen. And we do that. Tallahassee going to continue to get better, and we're going to continue to grow. So see y'all next time.